try clip we wings, somehow we can't fly out. But when we there, yeah, nothing nice like Jamaica. Roast breadfruit and banana. Under the tree with a glass of lemonade. Jumping out the river when me ready for paid. No boy can't buy me out. Me no foreign minded, no way compared to Jamaica. Jamaica love.
Good afternoon, my beloved Jamaica. And good afternoon, world. You have tuned into The Advocate live on www.talkjamaicaradio.com/listen. My name is Andrea D. White. I'm your host, and it's a nice, balmy Sunday, December the 17th, 2017, 7 days away from Christmas, Jamaica. For those of you who would like to join in the one-hour discussion that we have to share and to learn this afternoon, please call on 876, if you're in Jamaica, 343-4913. For our listeners in Jamaica, again, the number is 343-4913. And for those of you listening abroad, the number is 239-444-4913. You also may have your comments. You can, you know, put your comments on my Facebook page, post your comments on my Facebook page at Andrea D. White JP or on Talk Jamaica Radio page. So listeners, 7 days away from Christmas, my absolute favorite time of the year. It's almost Christmas, you guys. I love everything about Christmas. I love the food, the fellowship, the family, the togetherness. But while we share in this festive season, listeners, I just want you to spare a thought for those who may have lost a loved one during this time. I have a former colleague who was born on Christmas Day and his father died on Boxing Day. So spare a thought for those who Christmas is not such a great time for them. If it is that, you know, you have a neighbor that has no one else and lives alone, maybe you could invite them over for dinner. Or if you're baking Christmas cake and you're doing up your sorrel, you give them, you know, a slice, a good chunk or hunk, as we would say in Jamaica, Christmas cake and, you know, a drink of sorrel. Because at the end of the day, as I always say, listeners, it's one Jamaica. And I also would like to take this opportunity to extend my thanks and appreciation to all of you, my loyal, faithful listeners. For those of you who listen, for those of you who call in to extend or to deepen the engagement, I would also like to extend the best wishes of the season to the staff and management of Talk Jamaica Radio, who will be joining a new family come January 2018. And I just ask you guys to be safe on the road. If you're going to drink, please don't drive. Look out for each other. Be vigilant. And also, listeners, you need to spend wisely. I know it's a silly season, and I know, you know, there are lots of things that catches our eyes and we want to buy and spend, but you need to exercise some kind of fiscal discipline this season, because remember, January is a long month. And let me tell you something, when hunger pangs start beat you all the third week in January and you know, say you have one more week left for pay, it's rough. As a matter of fact, isn't it 5 weeks in January? It's 5 weeks in January 2018. So please, listeners, you know, just be moderate. That's the, you know, that's all I can say. Just be moderate. In how you excuse me, how you spend your money this season. No, crime listeners, And I want to stick with the Christmas theme, because according to today's Gleaner, Christmas cancelled, Dunkirk residents ready to scrap festivities despite promise of more police. So I'm going to read it for you. It says, chorus of children in the East Kingston community of MacIntyre Villa, better known as Dunkirk, will have little to cheer about this Christmas, as warring factions have made the area so hot that not even Santa Claus is being welcomed. But Deputy Superintendent Christopher Brown, crime chief for the Kingston East Police Division, is seeking to allay the fears of the residents and has vowed that cops will be patrolling the area to allow them to go about their normal business. Christmas can't cancel because Christmas is about peace, joy, and goodwill to all men. Really? Really? Deputy Superintendent Brown, tell it to the shot of them in East Kingston. So he continues, so whatever activities the police is doing to ensure there is peace, joy, and goodwill for all men, that's what we will continue to do, Brown told the Sunday Gleaner. According to Brown, the police are well aware of the tension between the opposing gangsters and are trying to bring peace to the area. He continues that we're committed to residents, not only in that community, but other communities, and to ensure that the Christmas that many of us look forward to is one of peace, joy, goodwill, and a time of reflection. But the assurances is not enough for residents, as gangsters from a section of the community known as Top Road and another known as Site have engaged in a deadly dispute over the last few months, with at least 10 persons already killed. According to some residents, not even the presence of the police over the festive period will cause the criminals to put their battles on pause. Christmas? Santa can't visit Dunkirk this year, or Santa goodly get shot, one member of a group of men in the community warned last week. A pure darkness covered the whole community, added another. May not even want a new pants or a new shoes because we can't go anywhere, one young man shared. And listeners, you can read it for yourself, but basically what they're saying is that they need Zozo, they need intervention, it needs to stop because Christmas, no, Christmas can't go around here because of some sick at them. In say people just are dead. If you stray and go up on another ends, I eat that. We have to just work with where I go on and hope the next year will be better, one resident said. I'm listening, I'm reading the article, right? And all I can say is like, what is it? Is it that terrorists have taken over sections of Jamaica? Because listen to another article in the same today's Gleaner. It is entitled "Criminals Killing the Joy: Crime Ravaged Communities Face Muted Holiday Celebrations," and it reads. The festivities that normally accompany the Christmas celebration have been replaced by fear and apprehension in several communities across this island, where residents are living in the shadow of the gun. With more than 1,500 murders so far this year, residents in the violence-plagued communities in St. James, Westmoreland, Hanover, St. Catherine, and the corporate area are entering this week's preparation for Christmas in a somber mood as criminals continue to make their lives hellish. Last week, our news team visited two St. Andrew communities where residents have been left more concerned with survival than celebrating the Christmas season. You can go about, but you have to be careful because the eruption of violence, is not like something that shows a signal. So anything can happen at any time. No signs, no symptoms, nothing. Georgia Grant of Oakwood Avenue in Marville told the Sunday Gleaner. We usually have our family dinner and we're wondering how we're going to deal with it this year. It is very hard because I spent all my life here and I have never seen it like this. This is the worst it has ever been, added Grant of the community, where at least 15 persons have been killed. Several shot and injured, and a number of houses firebombed over the past 4 months. It goes on to say that businesses in the community have been affected because they obviously there will be no nightlife. And a business operator, a jerk chicken vendor, said that before the violence erupted for the week, I would look on $70,000 to $80,000. Now for the week, I'm looking at $25,000 to $30,000. So that's a drastic drop in the business. I will say, listeners, I want to come off this, and I will say that, the high crime rate that we have is a is directly linked to the decades of social decay that manifests itself in poor housing, poor sanitation, no or little running water, high unemployment in these communities, political victimization, and the kind of political garrisons where politicians who are in so-called safe seats on both sides of the political divide, because they're so sure of the vote, have no incentive to develop these communities. Right? So you have communities like Dunkirk and Trench Town and communities in parts of Clarendon and Granville and in parts of Westmorland and St. James, Central Kingston. You have these communities, listeners, where the politicians are certain of a certain amount of votes, certain that they will get a certain number of votes out of these constituencies and these communities. And therefore, on their agenda, there is nothing on their agenda to develop the infrastructure, to put in skills training. And then you find combated with this is the years of social decay, is the fact that a lot of people now living in some of these communities can't see better for themselves. They just can't see better for themselves. So, I don't know, listeners. I struggle to see how we can continue to live in this country with this high crime rate, because I think it is now at crisis. It has been at crisis proportion for several years. And unless and until the average Jamaican says that enough is enough, and we are going to do what is necessary, and we are also going to adopt a zero tolerance approach to corruption and criminality from our loved ones, then Jamaica will continue to bleed. But again, listeners, 7 days from Christmas, and I don't want to end on such a heavy, dark note. So I could switch up the thing at right. I could switch up the thing and let us talk about the environment, because I haven't discussed the environment at length in a little while. And I must say, listeners, that I'm heartened by some of the things that I see coming out of the Andrew Holness-led administration. A lot of you would know that I'm a member of the Jamaica Environment Trust. I've been a member since I was a teenager. And the Jamaica Environment Trust is the most visible environmental organization in Jamaica that advocates for clean water, for clean air, for recycling of our waste. They were the ones that led the No Dirty Up Jamaica campaign. I'm sure No Dirty Up Jamaica, please don't do it, right? And I need you to understand, listeners, the need for environmental protection of our air, water, mountains, etc., for proper garbage disposal and for recycling, because I want you to appreciate, listeners, Jamaica and the diaspora, that there can be no sustainable economic development without environmental protection. And apparently, listeners, the Andrew Holness-led administration understands this. And so on November the 21st, in Parliament, he announced the areas to be designated as the boundary of the cockpit country and of the cockpit country protected area. The PM said that the cabinet adopt the Paris, I hope I'm pronouncing his name, the Paris Lowell IE Junior 2005 boundary report as the boundary of the cockpit country, comprising 74,726 hectares of forest reserves, right, listeners? Significant hydrological and ecological features, as well as cultural and heritage sites. Listeners, this is huge. This is big because for years, I mean years, environmentalists like Emma Lewis, the Jamaica Environment Trust led by Diana McCauley, Peter Espiute, a lot of people in this up to the PSOJ joined the call earlier this year. Certainly for years these persons have been, well, those are the visible ones, but of course you have also, the average Jamaican and those living in the cockpit country advocating for the government to set a boundary and to protect our watershed. So what this means, listeners, in a nutshell, what this effectively means, listeners, is that there can be no mining. So no mining will be permitted in the cockpit country protected area, right? And this, you must understand the importance of protecting this area in mitigating the effects of climate change and protecting and preserving our watershed areas. I must commend the government. All of Jamaica will benefit. I think 30% of our water comes from this area. So I just want to applaud the government. And further, listeners, then this Friday, no, news emerged that I think it is the UCD, the UDC, UCD, the UDC, the Urban Development Corporation, is to establish the Goat Islands in the Portland Bight Protected Area as a wildlife sanctuary for endemic and endangered species, including the critically endangered endemic Jamaican iguana. And when it means endemic, it means that it is only found in Jamaica, right? The Jamaica Environment Trust, we are all celebrating, said that the decision was communicated to us in a letter from the National Environment and Planning Agency, NEPA, on Wednesday. And you must understand, listeners, the backdrop to the Goat Islands. Remember, in 2014, the Goat Islands came under threat following the announcement that the then Portia Simpson government had signed a memorandum of understanding with Chinese interests to construct a transshipment port of the site, which is in the Portland Bight Protected Area. And remember that a lot of people were saying no. JET, along with managers of the Portland Bight Protected Area, the Caribbean Coastal Area Management Foundation, and other stakeholders, said no. Because this area, once we do this, we will never get it back. And what we are doing is not only is it a special part of our Jamaican heritage that we need to preserve, but it has larger environmental, what's the word I'm looking, consequences. And of course, this is, if you don't remember, I would remind you that the then Minister of Transport and Mining, Dr. Omar Davis, said he doesn't understand what the furrier is. Or the uproar is about Two Little Lizard. But it's not Two Little Lizard. And that is what successive governments, that's the approach successive governments have taken towards the environment, as if it's an afterthought, as if it is a step, a step sister, a step child. So I must applaud this government because apparently they understand the importance of protecting the environment. They understand the importance of making sure that we have a Jamaica that our children and our children's children can live in. And they also, I think the Prime Minister appreciates that you can't have sustainable development without environmental protection. Right? I see where the Director of Communication in the Office of the Prime Minister, Robert, oh boy, Nesta Morgan, tweeted that the government will also be looking at the whole idea or issue of plastic styrofoam packaging and plastic bags. And listeners, I want to use this opportunity to encourage you. If you go to the markets, you know the old market bags that we used to have? Some of them make out a crocus bag. Remember crocus bag? Get some of those market bags. I really like them. Get them, and when you go market, don't use the plastic bags, don't use the scandal bags. Put your goods in them as much as you can. When you go to the supermarket, carry a shopping bag. You know what I'm saying? And that will reduce the use of it. Personally, I think what is more effective than a ban, if you ask me, is to put a tax on it. Seriously. So every time you get a bag, you pay a fee, 10 cents. Put 10 cents on it. You see how much it adds up. Put 10 to 20, put 20 cents on it. Because certainly if you get five of them, that's $100. And that $100 can buy a soda or it can buy something else. It can buy some cornmeal. It can buy something else that you need. And because you have to force, sometimes you have to force people to change their behavior. And certainly changing a person's behavior or a society's behavior takes time. And to me, the most effective way of doing so is instead of banning styrofoam and banning plastic bottles and banning plastic bags, is to put a tax on them. Put a tax that is not so, you don't want it to be so, it shouldn't be so high that there's an outcry, but then it shouldn't be so low that you don't get compliance. So I personally think $20 is a good start, and then you can increase it if the targets of what you want to achieve in terms of the reduction in the use of plastic bottles and styrofoam containers and plastic bags are not achieved. You know what I'm saying? So as again, as I say, kudos to the Andrew Holness administration. I'm very happy to see this. And let us know, Jamaica, continue. Now, dirty up Jamaica. Remember, we talk about how you dispose of your waste on The Advocate. Please remember to put them in a garbage bin. I would want to see, because the work is not done, so I would want to see an aggressive drive towards recycling. I don't want a pilot project. No. You get some blue bins, that's recycling. And then you get the black bins, that is your garbage. And for a start, let's just do plastic. Because it is such, I mean, it can be so detrimental to our wildlife and to our fish life. So all I'm saying is, listeners, I'm hoping that the government will consider this, the National Solid Waste Management. Roll it out across the country. Recycling. So it's something that I will certainly be paying attention to, and it's something that certainly I would be advocating for the government to do. Time come now. And the whole, when you look on the road, how people just dash them garbage all over the place. Some of us are too nasty. We can do better, and we must do better. Clean up after yourself, man. You can't walk on the road and you eat something and you just throw it. You just fling it down the side. You drive your vehicle, you eat something, you fling it through the car. That's nasty. Okay, listeners, so I've covered crime and I've covered the environment. I want to turn to justice now, right? So we have 29 minutes to go before the end of the advocate. And I really want to touch on justice a little. And I want to touch on the courts. I want to, specifically, because news out of the courts this week was dominated by the sentences meted out to several individuals who had pleaded guilty earlier in the year. I think it was earlier in October, during sentence reduction day. And among these were several high-profile murders. But among the sentences that was highly anticipated was that of convicted murderer Desmond Ballantyne, aka Ninja Man, his son Jameel Ballantyne, and fellow convicted murderer Dennis Clayton, for the March 2009 murder of Ricardo Ricky Trooper Johnson. However, according to several media reports, listeners, their sentences were put off until Monday due to the late arrival of the men. And this was according to the reports because of a shortage of handcuffs. Lord, hit the wheel. I don't know. This has nothing to do with government policy, though. Really, it has to do with management. How can there be a shortage of handcuffs? Is it that there was a shortage system-wide? Or is it, listeners, that we are not managing the managers, the persons who are tasked and paid to manage, are not managing the way they ought to? Or is it really that there's a shortage of handcuffs, listeners? Or is it that because some of the police men and women, hardworking, most of them, were sick, which is why we had this delay. At any rate, listeners, according to Ninja Man's attorney, Valerie Robinson QC, one of the witnesses that was supposed to give good character evidence for to mitigate against a high sentence, was not able to stay for the duration because it was so late, because this person had a previous engagement. I would tell you, listeners, that this is how it goes sometimes in the courts. It is anticipated, however, that Ninja Man and his convicted son and friend will be sentenced tomorrow, as will the gentleman. His name escapes me, but I think they call him a brown man, who also pled guilty at sentence reduction day, to pled guilty to the murder of the Moncrief. The Mrs. Moncrief. She was 76. She was beaten with an iron pipe. So was her husband. He survived, as well as two other employees. So, listeners, I'm sorry, listeners. I feel like I'm coming down with the cold, with a cold or something. So I'm trying to fight against it. Right. So back to the courts now. I also would like, listeners, for to bring your attention to Philip Brown. Do you remember Philip Brown, who on December the 10th, 2016, so that was last year, hammered his pregnant girlfriend, 31-year-old Kerri-Ann Wilson, in her head cracking her skull. He was given a 15-year prison sentence at hard labor. And he took advantage of the sentence reduction day in October by pleading guilty to killing his girlfriend, who, according to reports, was pregnant for another man. Brown admitted to beating Ms. Wilson to death with a hammer before wrapping her body in a tarpaulin and trying to dispose of it. As a matter of fact, he was caught in the, well, caught trying to dispose of it by the security guard. Remember Crystal Towers Apartments on Old Hope Road, right, almost in front of the Commissioner of Police's office. And when the security guard asked him what he was doing, he ran. No, Mr. Brown must serve 10 years at hard labor before being eligible for parole. And I know a lot of persons. First, I know a lot of Jamaicans are against sentence reduction day, and I know that a lot of persons are saying that 15 years is too short for the crime that he committed. So I'm going to put certain things to your listeners, and certainly you're free to call me to let me know if you agree or don't agree. Remember, the numbers are 343-4913, or if you're calling from overseas, 239-444-8161. First of all, he pled guilty, and so he did not waste the court's time. By not wasting the court's time, the taxpayers spent a lot of money that they would have otherwise paid for the use of a courtroom. So, electricity with AC electricity, paying for the prisoners to come back and forth, paying for jury, pay all of the costs associated with a jury trial, with a murder trial. That's the first thing. The judge, Justice Martin Gale, also took into consideration the fact that he was drinking and smoking ganja heavily at the time, and that she was pregnant for another man. However, Justice Martin Gale also said that, listen, you knew she was pregnant for another man. By your own admission, you admitted that you had sexual relations before you killed her. I mean, you should have just leave. And I agree. And certainly the 15 years sound little, but I'm here to tell your listeners that when you plead guilty to murder, what you're doing is automatically the court looks on a guilty plea, and the quicker you do it, the better it is for you. They look on it as an admission of remorse, that you're remorseful. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. So then, because the court looks on it as you being remorseful, then certainly your sentence would be reduced. You understand what I'm saying, listeners? So he was able to take advantage of sentence reduction day that I know quite a few Jamaicans are not they're not in agreement with. I think they are saying that, listen, you do the crime. Sorry, listeners, you do the crime, you do the time, But as I said to you again, listeners, we have to take into consideration the fact that this person did not excuse me, listeners, did not waste the court's time and the resources of the overburdened taxpayers by pleading guilty. Another high-profile case that was adjudicated in the courts was Lorna Williamson. Do you remember her? She's the former University Hospital of the West Indies medical assistant, and she pled guilty to snatching a day-old baby from the University Hospital. And she was sentenced to 3 years probation with psychiatric counseling. No, what the and her attorney, let me tell you something. Her attorney really, really, really represented her and really put forward her case to the courts, and basically said that, and of course the evidence backed it up, that she had a miscarriage. She had a miscarriage maybe a couple of days before she snatched the baby. She was in a physically and emotionally abusive relationship and was actually kicked out of the house by her husband. And she was going through a lot, and she snapped. And the 47-year-old Williamson sobbed in court. She and I agree, listeners, with this sentence, and I'm also supported. I'm minded to support this because the family of the baby that was taken said that when the baby was found, the baby was fed and changed and was in good condition. They understand that she snapped. They understand that it is outside of what they say they know of her. And so they just want to move on with their lives, and that is it. I hope that she gets the help she needs. I don't know how solid the, what would you call it? I don't know how solid the psychiatric counseling is that she will get, but I certainly wish her well. Also, listeners, I don't know if you remember this. I'm not going to lie to you though. This sentence threw me a little, but then I'm going to explain to you why he got 7 years. Kino Gilzean, a laborer of New Haven in St. Andrew, he pled guilty to manslaughter and was given 7 years imprisonment with psychiatric evaluation, treatment, and counseling. Listen, he pled guilty to manslaughter and not murder. So that's important. And a psychiatric evaluation undertaken on the instructions of the court showed that he suffers from schizophrenia. And so he also took advantage of the sentence reduction initiative. The deceased, Sudeen Jackson, a 22-year-old resident of Brayton Portmore, was killed after she went to Gilzean's house. They met on Facebook, listeners, allegedly for a sexual encounter in exchange for $3,000. Following the sexual encounter, she asked to leave, but Gilzean, he got angry. He stabbed her in her chest and neck before using a stone to bash in her face. So this was a gruesome murder. He then hid her body. He'd made the deceased Sadine Jackson's body under his bed and cleaned up the scene. When his sister Alicia came home, he told her a story about being held up by three men who raped and killed Jackson. So the siblings, they buried Jackson's body in a shallow grave the following morning, but informed their mother of the incident, and she summoned the police. Both were arrested, and his sister Alicia Gilzean was charged with she was misprison of felony or abandon, but I don't understand why they would charge her. To me, what they should charge her for is incorrect disposal of a body or something like that. Because what she should have done is call the police. Even if she's in light of the fact that even if she suspected her brother, he said that three men raped and killed Jackson. Why did she not call the police? I do know that the Crown, according to the Director of Public Prosecutions, Paula Llewellyn, she's saying that the Crown is considering whether to prosecute her or abandoning the charge in light of what she was told by her brother. Personally, I think that she should be charged with interfering with a dead body, and giving a non-custodial sentence. To be that's my own view. Now, certainly 7 years for the kind of killing that Mr. Gilzean has been accused of is sounds woefully inadequate. But I want you to understand that he was not. He did not plead guilty to murder, listeners. He pled guilty to manslaughter. And manslaughter carries a lower sentence. Excuse me, listeners. Manslaughter would carry a lower sentence than would murder. And there have been reports also that whilst he was in police custody, he boasted about killing Miss Jackson and sacrificing her body. So clearly, from the reports, this is someone that is troubled. My thing is, even all right, so say he gets in intensive psychiatric assistance and counseling in prison. What happens when he comes out at the age of 29? Because that's when he's going to come out. What kind of support system will be put in place for Mr. Gilzean to ensure that he does not reoffend? Because he has a medical condition. Schizophrenia is a real disease. It's a real mental disease. Some people can function quite well if they take their medication. Some people have severe reactions to the medication, and so they come off it and go back on and come off and go back on, sometimes with dire consequences. So I would like to know what would be put in place. And listeners, these are some of the things that we need to really fix if we want to fix Jamaica. But certainly I really don't have a problem with any of the sentences. I know a lot of people would disagree with me, but you have to understand the thinking behind sentence reduction day. I'm sorry. You have to understand this, the thinking behind it. What it is doing is it's trying to ensure that the overburdened justice system doesn't become further clogged with cases. And what it does is, depending on the case, accused persons can enter a guilty plea and benefit from a maximum of up to 50% reduction in their sentence, according to the Governing Act, according to the provisions of the Criminal Justice Administration Amendment Act 2015. You know what I'm saying? Of course, for you to take advantage of this, listeners, an accused person would have to make the plea by a specific time. So you can't wait in your case. So you can't wait until it got trial and then say you want to tinge, right? So if they have if they miss the opportunity of the 50%, they'll have a second chance. But and if they wish to plead guilty, they'll be allowed to do so. But you can't wait till it is out to the jury, and then you say you want to wait. They can't stop the trial. And I don't you may want to ask your attorney to go and talk to the prosecutor, the prosecuting attorney, about saying, you know what, I want to stop the trial, I just want to plead guilty and see if I can get whatever. Certainly, but there is no guarantee. What I would say is that the sentence reduction day program, the sentence reduction day program, it was first done on May the 22nd. And the mandate, listen, and so that is why you need to understand, and I know a lot of people are against it, but the man, well, several persons, not a lot, but there are persons who have concerns. Is the mandate, you see, is towards the administration of justice in a timely manner in all the courts, and the initiative was implemented as a measure to reduce the large number of cases pending for trial. So talk to your attorney. If you have a case, speak to your attorney. Your attorney, I'm sure, is able to tell you how the wind sails, especially if the evidence is weighed strongly against you and in favor of the prosecution, and take advantage of sentence reduction day. Listeners, 9 minutes to go. I am beyond shocked. I wanted to move on to the economy, but it is not to be for this afternoon, for this 1 hour that we have to share on the advocate. So for the next 9 minutes, there are certain things that I want to talk about. That is right with Jamaica, but also some things that we can do better. We need to do better. We need to get it right. You know what I love about you, Jamaicans, about me, about my beautiful island? The fact that we have the capacity to, we are such a warm, giving people. We are. We are helpful. It is not, you can, in most cases, if you live good with your neighbor and on a war boat, you can say to your neighbor, boy, beg you one of your breadfruit from off of your tree, you know? Or beg you may have some saltfish, you beg you some akino, me cook some and give some. You know what I'm saying, listeners? I love that about us. I love the fact that we are fiercely, fiercely nationalistic and we take pride in being Jamaicans. You know what I don't like? I don't like how partisan we are. I don't like how we see each other as orange or green and not as black, green, and gold first. I don't like how you can't, if you criticize a member of the PNP or against the PNP, or if you criticize a member of the, well, not a member, but a policy of the PNP or the JLP, then you're for either side. I don't like that about us. I don't like how we have allowed politicians to divide us. I don't like how we continue not to go out and participate in voting, in jury service, in jury duty, sorry. I don't like how we dirty up our beautiful Jamaica. We're special, you know. Jamaica is a goal, not even gold, a goal. And I don't like that about us, listeners. I don't like how we're so laid back that we don't demand more of ourselves because we can be great. We are a mighty little island. We're little, but we're Talawa. And we can be great in every single aspect of life, in science, in the arts, in the economy. We can have a Jamaica where, like Japan, that has millions of people living in Japan. In 1 year, their murder rate was less than 10. That is possible for Jamaica. You don't think it's possible? It is. But it starts with us. I don't like how we don't understand our national motto. You know what our national motto is? In my mind, them no more than we. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. No country no more than we, which means that we are entitled to live in a country that is clean, where we don't have to be stepping over garbage, where we don't have to be dodging potholes, where we don't have to be dodging bullets, where each and every one of us, when we graduate from either high school or tertiary level education, we have a reasonable opportunity to either create our own employment or get employment. So no other country no more than we. And if they can be first world, why we can't do it ourselves? Why? Why we sit down and let people make decisions for us when we can make decisions for ourselves? Why, listeners? Why, Jamaica? Why, when you're supposed to go sit down on a jury duty, you find all kind of excuses? We have to do better. One Jamaica we have. We have to work together because I intend to have more children here, continue to work here, grow old here, die here, if it is God's will. And I want to leave a Jamaica that is safe, that is enabling, that is nurturing, that is vibrant, that is an economic and cultural powerhouse, right? for my children and my children's children. That is what I want to leave. And it is our duty to ensure that this is so. Right? So, listeners, it is up to us. Nobody talk about politician this and politician that. Where you are do? Where you are do for Jamaica? When last you go to a golden age home or a children's home and volunteer a little of your time? When last you go to the police, your community police station, and I don't know, Christmas is here, listeners. If you can afford it, carry a bottle of, well, you can't carry a bottle of, sorry. Carry a bottle of sorrel, but not put no whites in it. So just carry the sorrel and gift them. Maybe a cake, something. You know what I'm saying, listeners? I want to thank you all for your support for 2017. Certainly, there are some things I'm working on for 2018. So the advocate will be more visible, bigger, and better. I want to thank my hard working studio engineer Sanjay Lewis, who does double duties as host and engineer. I want to thank all the other hosts of Talk Jamaica Radio. I want to thank the management, Volney Barrett, who invited me on this station. I love all of you. Merry Christmas to all of you. Remember, please, guys, take it easy on the roads. Remember, not spend out the little money where you have 5 weeks for in January. 5 weeks. So whilst white squall will be killing all of us. Okay, listeners? And for the new year, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I believe in making goals, in setting goals and ticking them off as I go. So I don't make New Year's resolutions. But I wish for you, my beloved Jamaica, a safe and happy and peaceful Christmas, surrounded by good food and just a lot of love and fellowship. And remember, listeners, to reach out to those who are less fortunate. Reach out to those who may have loved ones, but they're away or have no loved ones at all. Remember that Christmas is sometimes not joyous for everyone because some people would have lost their loved ones during this time. And for 2018, make a cut down on the crime and the killing and love up each other because, as I say, it's one Jamaica we have and we have to be each other's keepers. So, hear what? Until you hear my voice again, this is your advocate. One love, Jamaica love. Blessings.
Represent for your man. Tune up, hurricane, not stop. From the time we're chopping, no matter about tax man, still a hustler than a guan. Jamaican have the link to the link. Connect Canadian, American, England. Make sure, say, when they are.